Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of November 20th. Free Community Christmas Dinner set December 4th. The Rantoul Township High School Fellowship of Christian Athletics is hosting a free community dinner Wednesday, December 4th in the school cafetorium. The dinner will be held in the cafeteria from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. On the menu for the dinner is smoked pork tenderloin, turkey breast, cheesy potato casserole, green beans, salad, rolls, and assorted desserts. Event organizer Tricia Freeman said the event is great for the community. The event is designed to bring the community together. We normally serve around 500 people, Freeman said. It is free and open to the public. If you would like to get more information on the dinner, you can contact Freeman for more information at 217-892-6035. Or email Tricia Freeman at students.rths.k12.il.us. Church provides a different kind of ministry to widows, singles. A Rantoul church, in partnership with a local car dealership, is helping women of the church over 18 with their car maintenance. Once a month, men of Christian Life Church meet at Shields Auto Center, where employees of the business change the oil of the women who have signed up for the service. Afterwards, volunteers from the church wash their vehicles. And it's all at no charge. Joy Harden of Rantoul is one of those who benefits from the service and said it is a big help. It's a wonderful service. I really appreciate all they do for us, said Harden, who has taken her car in for the past 2 years. Church member Al Vogelsang heads the Christian Life Oil Change Ministry. It's for any single woman who attends our church over the age of 18. We have a pool of 73 women in our fellowship, Vogelsang said. The male volunteers perform the service from 8 a.m. to noon the third Saturday of each month at Shields. The volunteers work in two 2-hour shifts with 6 men in a shift. There are also 2 volunteers who sit with the women in the customer lounge to talk with them and pray with them if they want prayer, Vogelsang said. We partner with Shields. They do the oil change. They give us a great deal, Vogelsang said. In addition to a car wash, the church volunteers clean the interior of the vehicle. They get more excited about their clean car than they do about the oil change because this is something they can see, Vogelsang said. He said the volunteers get as much out of the service as the female recipients. They really enjoy it, he said. It's been very rewarding for them. I have one guy who works both shifts from 8 to 12, Pat Herbert. Men of all ages take part, ranging from their teens to older than 70. Vogelsang said the program came about because the Bible in 1 Timothy 5:3 says the church should take care of widows and singles and the ladies who are alone. He said it provides more than just servicing a car. It helps the women to feel more connected, like someone cares. What's interesting about this is not part of our church budget, but it's financed by men of the church, Vogelsang said. Christian Life isn't the first church in the country to provide such a service, but he said many churches do it once or twice a year in their church parking lot. Vogelsang said the employees of Shields go above and beyond. They will check the car while they are servicing it and point out any problems. They will say, "You might have an issue with your brakes or whatever," Vogelsang said. "We have had several of those. One woman's mirror was falling off. Another woman had to disconnect her battery every night. It was an electrical problem. Somebody paid for that one, too. There was a $700 bill, and a guy paid it. They're a great partner with us," he said of Shields. Rantoul, they've got you covered. In 1987, the Women's Auxiliary of Burnham City Hospital in Champaign formed an ambulance service. The group opted for the name Professional Ambulance Company for a tactical reason, according to Director Bob Holloway. At that time, 911 wasn't super common in Champaign County, so when you called, and especially with our rotation with our competitive environment, it wasn't necessarily guaranteed which ambulance service you would get, Holloway said. They picked that name so that when a person called and was asked which ambulance servants he or she wanted and they responded, "I want professionals," their service would be more likely to be dispatched. 32 years later, PRO serves Champaign-Urbana, the northern portion of Champaign County, and parts of Vermilion County, including Danville. When you hear an ambulance siren in Rantoul, there's a good chance it's a pro ambulance. Our primary role is to provide 911 emergency service for a medical transport, Holloway said. We consider this an essential public safety service. PRO, which is affiliated with OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana, provides service regardless of an individual's ability to pay. We are a true universal health care provider, Holloway said. Anyone can access us. All you have to do is call 911 and we'll be on your doorstep. We're very proud of being able to provide care to people who are marginalized in our society, who might not have the money or the means to seek health care. Not everyone who calls PRO goes to the hospital, and if they do, it doesn't have to be OSF. PRO will take the patient to whatever hospital the patient desires. Holloway said sometimes people call because they don't know what to do. Perhaps the caller just needs reassurance. Sometimes it's a new mother who thinks her baby might be choking, or maybe someone fell and needs help getting up, or it could be a diabetic issue and they need help getting their blood sugar raised. Holloway said such calls are fine. That's what we want them to do, he said. Anyone who calls and gets assistance but doesn't require hospital transport is not charged. PRO has grown from 4 wheeled coach ambulances to 13 paramedic level ambulances today. It is also equipped with 3 paramedic level non-transport vehicles, 1 all-terrain vehicle for special events, and for the first downstate physician response vehicle in which a doctor with specialized equipment essentially makes house calls in significant emergency situations. Holloway said the physician responds to calls that are above the level of scope that a paramedic can handle. Recently, the physician responded to an industrial accident in which a man's legs were pinned. The physician was able to save the victim's life. A PRO ambulance is stationed in Rantoul in a building it has shared with the police department for 25 years. It's been working really, really well for us, Holloway said. We're growing so much that we're looking for additional space in town. PRO ambulances are staffed with paramedics and emergency medical technicians who work 24-hour shifts. An EMT is certified in basic life support skills and has 1 semester of college. A paramedic goes through 2 years of college training and learns such skills as medical assessments, starting intravenous lines, giving emergency medicines intravenously, cardio monitoring, advanced airway work, and some trauma stabilization. One area that has made a major impact in patient survival in advances in cardiac systems treatment. A paramedic can do a 12-lead EKG on a heart patient in his or her home and transmit the information to the hospital. The emergency room can be bypassed and the patient can be taken straight to the cath lab and handed off to the cardiologist. Recently, we had 2 of those events, Holloway said. From the time of the call to the time that person's blood vessels had been opened back up was under an hour. Every single minute, hundreds of thousands of cardiac cells die during a heart attack. The fact that we can get this done very quickly can save lives and minimize damage. PRO shares Champaign-Urbana ambulance service duties with Aero Ambulance. Holloway said PRO averages 200 calls a month in Rantoul. Average response time is between 7 and 8 minutes. If an ambulance goes on a hospital run from Rantoul, PRO backfills another ambulance to be stationed in town from Champaign until the other ambulance returns. It takes about 90 minutes for an ambulance trip from Rantoul to Champaign and back. The village has been known to have 5 or 6 calls in a 10-minute span, so we might have every ambulance in the county heading up to Rantoul, Holloway said. The community has a high call rate for a couple of reasons, in Holloway's estimate. For one, there are 2 retirement communities in town, and for another, there are a number of uninsured people or people who don't have a lot of primary care insurance or are not compliant on medications, either because they can't afford them or they don't have access to them. 79% of PRO's patients are on Medicare or Medicaid, both of which are known for not paying the true reimbursement cost to ambulance services and health care providers. 10% of patients are uninsured, and about 11% have third-party insurance such as Blue Cross Shield or Health Alliance. Third-party insurance pays about 30% of revenue that PRO collects, whereas Medicaid pays about 18%. Overall, PRO operates at a loss in Rantoul. But Holloway said PRO isn't in the business to make a profit. Providing the service is more important than making a buck, he said. One thing that sets us apart is being a Catholic organization. We are here to serve as an example in the spirit of Christ, to serve in the greatest care and love in a community. Part of the loss is made up by serving other towns in the county that have a higher rate of third-party insurance customers. PRO also provides medical direction to fire departments and first responders. OSF is also equipped with its own aviation division. It owns 6 helicopters and runs an emergency medicine residence program out of St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria with the University of Illinois School of Medicine. On some flights, physicians will be on board. Holloway said because OSF owns its own helicopters, its rates are about half the cost of other services. A breakdown on causes prompting ambulance calls in Rantoul include abdominal pain or sickness at 15%, breathing problems 12%, chest pains 11%, falls 10%, traffic accidents 7%, unconscious or cardiac arrest 6%, psychiatric behavioral emergencies 4%, lift assist 4%, convulsions or seizures 3%. Rantoul teen struck by bullet in drive-by shooting. A Rantoul teenager was injured in a drive-by shooting Monday evening in the village. Police Lieutenant Justin Bowes said the 17-year-old male juvenile told police he was standing in the 1400 block of Abram Drive when a white vehicle pulled up and someone began shooting at about 6:02 p.m. The youth was struck in the arm. Bowes said the wound is not believed to be life-threatening. Bowes said 2 to 3 shots were fired before the vehicle sped off. The youth was transported by ambulance to Carl Hospital, Urbana. He told police he had no idea who shot at him. Bowes said one bullet struck an apartment building causing minor damage. No other injuries were reported. The location is a residential area in the South Point Commons neighborhood on the west side of the former Chanute Air Force Base. Police ask that anyone with information about the shooting contact them at 217-893-5600 or Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. Information sought in theft of car that was later crashed. Champaign County Crime Stoppers needs help finding the person who stole a car from Rantoul and later got in a crash last week. On Sunday, November 17th, about 2:36 p.m., a 2012 Ford Edge was stolen from the 800 block of North Maplewood Drive, where it was left running in a driveway with no one in it. The car was recovered the next day in Champaign after being involved in a hit-and-run collision. Police need help finding the person or people who took the car or got in the hit-and-run. They also remind residents to not leave their vehicles unattended while they are warming up. Investigators ask if you have information on the car theft or crash that you contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS, 373tips.com, or via the P3TIPS mobile app. Tipsters are always 100% completely anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers. All tips are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Tipsters will never be asked their name and are given a secret code number to use when checking on a possible reward. Cash rewards of up to $1,000 may be paid on tips that lead to an arrest. Now hear this. Minch to retire at end of year from his auditory care business. A man who helped Rantoul area residents improve their hearing for several decades is calling it a career later this year. Ronald Minch, owner-operator of Auditory Care Center, said he will retire effective December 31st. The local businessman said he and his wife, Anne, whom he married in August, plan to do more traveling. Ironically, Minch, who has been in the business for 29 years, started out in a career that has traditionally been hard on the ears, the military. More specifically, he was a crew chief serving in B-52 bombers during the Vietnam War. Growing up in the Hinsdale area, Minch joined the Air Force out of high school. He served 23 years there, rising to the rank of Master Sergeant, before retiring in 1976. It was the Air Force that brought him to Rantoul and Chanute Air Force Base. Minch did some multi-line work in the auditory care business and then began working with Beltone before starting his own business in 1999. Auditory Care Center also employs Tracy Hudson. Christina Minch has worked on a part-time basis. Ron Minch said the work has been satisfying and fulfilling. A lot of people need a lot of help, he said. It's not like putting on a pair of glass. Some people have earwax issues or dexterity issues. Minch said any number of high noise sources can lead to hearing problems, including the aforementioned military service or farming, among others. In some cases, it's a child getting many earaches and ear infections, Minch said. In more than one instance, Minch has discovered the problem to be bugs in people's ears. In one case, it was a family that had just been camping. They had no idea the bugs were there, he said. Minch has also managed the Rantoul Plaza, the East Side shopping center that has been home to his business. He said he will discontinue that as well. Minch has two married children, Jeffrey and his wife, Christina, and Christine Brown and her husband, Luke. He has four grandchildren. Minch said he would be open to selling the business. A hit in Europe, Rantoul Man's Play to open here. A retelling of the story of the goblins who stole a sexton. Charles Dickens' first Christmas fairy tale that 7 years later became the model for A Christmas Carol will be presented this weekend in Rantoul. Local author Kenny Chumbly's The Goblins and the Gravedigger will be staged at 7 p.m. Saturday, November 30th and 3 p.m. Sunday, December 1st at Rantoul History Museum, 1040 Klein Avenue. Following are some questions posed by press editor Dave Hinton, answered by Chumbly, on how the whole thing came into being. Please give me an outline, overview, of what it's all about. Obviously, I know the story of A Christmas Carol, but how does this differ from the original? The Goblins and the Gravedigger is my retelling of Charles Dickens' first known Christmas fairy tale. We don't know exactly when he wrote it, sometime in his early 20s, but it appeared as Chapter 29 in the Pickwick Papers, which was published in 1836. 7 years later, when he wrote A Christmas Carol, Dickens followed essentially the same outline he used in his goblin story. Instead of Ebenezer Scrooge, there is Gabriel Grubb. Instead of ghosts, there are goblins. Both stories occur on Christmas Eve. Both involve the redemption of a wretched man. How did you come to write it? In September 2017, I staged my musical play, The Green Children. Then in December 2017, I produced Rod Sickler's presentation of A Christmas Carol. I enjoyed those experiences, and knowing Dickens had written Christmas plays other than Carol, I decided to retell one of them. Dickens' original goblin story was very short, so I had to lengthen it, which I did by writing a backstory. To do this, I drew on my own imagination, but put my part of the story into a Dickensian context. In Dickens' story, the gravedigger, Gabriel Grubb, physically strikes a young boy on Christmas Eve. To expand this, I drew on a scene from Dickens' Nicholas Nickleby and its sadistic schoolmaster, Wackford Squeers. In A Christmas Carol, there are three ghosts for Christmas past, present, and future. In my retelling of the goblin story, I introduce a book with three pages that reveals to Grubb his past, present, and his passing. My retelling, however, stays true to Dickens' story, which is the redemption of a miserable man. On the last day of 2018, I received an email from a theatrical colleague in Dundalk, Ireland, who had been asked to submit a radio show for broadcast over Irish Public Radio. She had seen a copy of my retelling and thought it would be perfect for a radio show. So I converted the story, which was published in May by Adelaide Books, New York, into a radio script. The script was named a winner by the 2019 Moondance International Film Festival and was named Best Script by the 2019 California International Shorts Festival. An official with the world-famous Dickens Fair, held every December in San Francisco, wrote to say he's never known anyone to do with the goblin story what I've done with it. In April, an American cast in Champaign recorded the play, and in June, an Irish cast did the same. It's a 50-minute show that I've been marketing to radio stations in English-speaking countries. 40 stations in England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Ireland, Canada, the U.S., and Australia are set to broadcast the show at Christmas. Dublin South FM, Dublin, Ireland, has already aired the show and plans to do so several more times before Christmas. In fact, I have just now received this from the station manager of Dublin South FM. Everyone here at our station really enjoyed every minute of the broadcast. We got a fabulous response from our listeners. It was an extremely professional production, and everybody, Not only admiring the wonderful story and voiceovers, all commented on the sound effects. We are so happy with it. We will be playing it many times from now and over the festive period. Tell me about the director and the cast. The Champagne cast that recorded the show in April was made up of local actors and community theater. We had so much fun doing the recording that it was decided we would stage 4 live shows ahead of Christmas. Those live shows will be done like an old-time radio broadcast. Actors will dress circa 1939. They will stand before microphones and read from the script. And there will be a Foley table for special effects, sound of the wind, footsteps, doors opening and closing. The show we've put together is 90 minutes long. It will open with the CUTC Dickensian Carolers, a wonderful group of singers who dress in period costumes, 1840, and sing traditional carols. There will be an intermission during which refreshments can be purchased, coffee, wassail, shortbreads and other cookies, and then the cast, which we call the Prairie Theatrical Ensemble, will perform the 50-minute show. There will also be a celebrity cameo at each performance. It will be pure fun and family entertainment. Anyone who likes a Christmas carol will like our show. It's familiar but fresh. Talk about having it at the Rantoul History Museum. Earlier this year, in talking with my friend Jim Cheek, director of the Rantoul Historical Museum, I learned he would like to make the museum auditorium available for theatrical performances, musical shows, etc. I suggested holding 2 of our live performances there. Jim was immediately receptive and has encouraged and facilitated this happening at every step of the way. This will be the world premiere of the live play. It's hard to get through December without Dickens, and if area residents would like to kick off the Christmas season by coming out to see a never-before-staged Dickens show, we would love to see you. Seating is limited. Tickets can be purchased online at prairiepapers.com or at the door. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Roy Spracklin, 74, of Thomasboro, died November 20th at Illini Heritage Rehab and Healthcare Center, Champaign. Graveside services were held Tuesday, November 26th at Grandview Memorial Gardens, Bloomington Road, Champaign. Bayer Family Funeral Services Paxton is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be offered at bayerfuneralservices.com. Esther Y. Lutz, 81, of Fisher, died November 19th at Gibson Area Hospital, Annex, Gibson City. Funeral services were held Monday, November 25th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Osmond, Fisher. Burial followed in Willowbrook Cemetery, Fisher. Bayer Family Funeral Services Paxton is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to her church or Fisher Community Foundation, and condolences may be offered at bayerfuneralservices.com. Terry Coleman, 71, of Durham, North Carolina, a Rantoul Township High School graduate, died November 16th. Memorial donations may be offered to the Duke Cancer Institute. John J. Jack Wisner, 89, of Urbana, passed away November 19th at Amber Glen Alzheimer's Special Care Unit in Urbana. A funeral mass was held Tuesday, November 26th at St. Lawrence Catholic Church, Penfield. Burial followed in Danville National Cemetery, Danville, Illinois. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association, Salvation Army, Champaign County Humane Society, or St. Jude's. Edna Creighton, 91, of Armstrong, died November 19th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Graveside services were held November 23rd at Partlow Cemetery, Armstrong. Blurton Funeral Home, Potomac, is in charge of arrangements. Memories or photos may be posted on her memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. We'll return and finish now with local news and opinion. Tourney organizers chomping at the bit to schedule events at Rantoul's new sports complex. Interest by tournament organizers in booking Rantoul's new sports complex has been greater than anticipated, village administrator Scott Eisenhower said. Meantime, a contract is projected to be finalized for village purchase of the land where the complex will be built. The village has been in talks with sports organizations interested in scheduling events at the facility, which is projected for completion in March 2021, Eisenhower said. Just based on what has been requested, we have more than filled every weekend that we had originally suggested we would have, and then some, Eisenhower said, of the first year. While noting that nothing has been finalized, Eisenhower said, if there was concern about interest from sports organizations hosting events at the complex, it's not a concern any longer. Eisenhower said the level of interest has surprised him. I felt we would have some success there this early, but I have been overwhelmed by the number of organizations that have expressed such a strong interest, he said. The $20 million artificial turf complex will be built to draw traveling and local teams to play softball, baseball, football, lacrosse, and other sports in Rantoul. Organizers estimate the complex will bring teams from up to a four-hour radius, including the Chicago, St. Louis, and Indianapolis areas. It is expected to boost the local economy with the building of additional restaurants, hotels, and retail establishments. Eisenhower said negotiations with the Warner family, which owns the property in West Rantoul, have gone very well, and a deal should be finalized soon. Christy Flugmacher, spokesperson for the Warner family, agreed, saying everything is going well with negotiations. We're just working on some final little details, she said. Land sale proposal. Eisenhower said the plan is to meet in closed session with the village board at its December 3rd study session. And when trustees are comfortable with the proposal, it will be made public prior to the regular monthly board meeting the following week. The sports complex will sit on a 60-acre parcel south of Rantoul, Walmart. The village board last month signed a $16.5 million contract with St. Louis-based contractor Byrne & Jones to construct the major portion of the complex. Another estimated $4 to $7 million will be spent with local contractors to do the remainder of the work and for purchase of the land, Eisenhower said earlier. Flugmacher said she has been meeting with businesses interested in locating near the site. Nothing will be finalized and announced until after the land purchase agreement is settled. At least 40 acres is available near the site for development, Eisenhower said. Core samples have already been taken on the grounds, but no soil will be moved until the purchase is complete. Most of the site work will take place in 2020. The village hopes to fund about 25% of the project from private contributions, sponsorships, donations, and grants, which Eisenhower said has gone well. The bulk of the funding will come from bonds paid for from income generated through the village's tax increment financing fund. Jake's Boys Music Ministry will perform a concert of gospel music at 4 p.m. Sunday, December 8th at Peace Lutheran Church, Thomasboro. Refreshments will be served after the concert. Donations will be accepted. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of November 20th. I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving, and I hope to read with you again soon.